Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate that you listen to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and also leave us some feedback. Rate us. Give us a review. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoy.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
John Canzano. Raw. Sourced. Fresh. From the PacWest Center in downtown Portland, built by high-caliber millwrights, this is The Bald-Faced Truth.
So I was all fired up about that bracket going out early on ESPN, because I felt like that was just a bad moment. You just don't make that mistake. Look, I'm in media. We all make mistakes, but you don't make that mistake if you're ESPN. Kelly Graves is the Oregon women's basketball coach, and I think he's an easier going guy than I am. He joins us now. We'll find that out. How are you, Kelly Graves?
John, I'm pretty good. Wasn't that crazy yesterday?
Yeah, I didn't like it. I think you don't make that mistake. Like, if you're ESPN, come on. Like, run a lap.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, plus some push-ups. You know, just think if that would have happened on the men's bracket. Oh. I mean, the outrage that there would have been. It's just incredible.
You guys knew you were in. You probably knew you were a two seed. Maybe you knew, you probably thought, hey, we're probably going to Portland. But still, it would have been nice to have that party and have the announcement and celebrate together.
Well, yeah, and you know, not so much us necessarily. Like you said, you know, we kind of knew where we were going to be, both seed-wise and then, you know, obviously pulling for the Portland region. But how about those programs that haven't been in a while, or those players that have never had a chance to, you know, for that moment? There's something magical, whether you know you're in or not, there's something magical about seeing your name come up on, you know, on the bracket Monday. And, you know, and that was kind of taken from them, you know. And then ESPN, I think, kind of compounds the issue by then doing the 2 o'clock show. I think maybe they could have just waited. I mean, a lot of our fans are older anyway and maybe not Twitter savvy.
Yeah, they missed
may
it.
May not have even known. But we just went ahead and canceled our whole celebration anyway. But, you know, it is what it is, and now we get a chance to move on.
I have a theory on why they moved it up.
What's that?
So being on this side of the table, I think when they blew the bracket, their fear was in that 3 hours that, you know, the bracket's out, I think they feared that their advertisers were all going to pull out, saying, look, the bracket already got revealed, we were buying exclusivity, and I think they jammed it forward so that, you know, as the phones were ringing, saying, hey, these guys might bail on us, let's go forward with the broadcast.
Interesting. Could well be. I heard about it from my son. You know, he's down in Phoenix, and I had gone home after practice right around noon, right when it happened.
Yeah.
And, I had to go home and feed the dogs, and then, bam, he gives me a call. He says, hey, congratulations. I go, what do you mean? He says, the bracket's out. And I go, no, come on. And then he told me all about it, but that came from him. I wasn't even with the team.
I love it.
When it all came down.
You have to go home and feed the dogs. I love that.
And my wife's out of town, and so, man, this time of year, how can she leave town, right? She's got to take one for the team. I got to be home. I'm feeding the dogs. I'm recruiting. I'm prepping for an NCAA tournament, running practice. I mean, the one-person show down here in Eugene. Let's go.
Kelly Graves is with us. You get Portland State. I saw them play. They got a really good player.
You know what? I've been watching them most of the morning, and they've got a nice team. I think Coach Kennedy's done a heck of a job. He took over a program wasn't very good, and in 4 years he's got him to this point. But yeah, you're right. Are you talking about Riley or Bolston or the two big kids?
I'm talking about one of the, I saw them play in person. They got one of the big kids. I think you could probably use her. It, you know, yeah, one of the big kids runs real well, is a good rebounder, seems to be their go-to when they need a key basket. They've got some players, and they're scrappy.
No doubt. I mean, you don't see many 15 seeds that have won 25 games. And obviously they're playing well at the right time. But, yeah, they start 6-4, 6-4. You don't see that very often. And so, you know, they're going to actually be a little bigger than we are, which doesn't happen often.
Kelly Graves with us. What does it mean to be in the Portland Regional for you guys?
Well, I think it's huge. I mean, obviously we've got a lot of work to do to get there, but I think any coach would much prefer to play as close as they can to home. For your fans to travel, for you to not have to travel as far, I think it's a natural. But I'm not going to go down that road. We got a lot of work to do before we have a chance to get there. But certainly that was important to us and big for us. And you know what, John? I think we earned it. You know, we earned it through the entire season, 29-4, and to play the schedule we did and to win the Pac-12 regular season championship. We earned this opportunity.
Your players, obviously, they read, they see on television, they know you're a 2-seed, they know that the country expects Oregon to play really deep into this tournament. How do you guard against them looking ahead while you know that they can clearly see the path to a Final Four?
Well, we don't talk about it, first of all. I'm going to talk about it with you because you're a cool guy and we share the same barber. And,
thank you.
And actually, we both have Hollywood good looks.
But, yes. Go on.
With them, they will hear nothing from us except for Portland State. And, you know, we've had those expectations, though, John, all year. You know, this is not a surprise. This isn't just, you know, coming out of, you know, nowhere. I mean, we've had high expectations and a high profile all season long and a lot of pressure, quite frankly. And I think our kids have handled it pretty well. So, you know, we've been to 2 Elite 8s. So we know how to navigate this, the early rounds of the NCAA tournament. I think we're a pretty experienced group. So I don't think that will be an issue. I think our kids are smart enough to realize, hey, we better worry about Friday because you don't take care of business Friday. There is no Sunday, at least on the court. I might be on the golf course, but not on the court.
I look at, like, some of the coaches I talk to say that they tell their teams it's a 4-team tournament this weekend. Do you look at it that way, or do you just say Portland State, and then you wait to see who wins Texas, Indiana, and then you go, hey, then it's Texas, or then it's Indiana?
I think the latter of those two. I've heard coaches say, yeah, it's 3 2-game tournaments to win this whole thing. But for us, we've just kind of taken one game at a time, as we have really the entire season. That's been our approach.
I look at the Pac-12 scattered across the bracket, and Stanford will play a UC Davis team that is a Big West champion. You've got, obviously, representation from Oregon State. And do you pay attention to what the other teams are going to do, Arizona State and others? Or are you so focused on Oregon that you do that at the end?
I think a little of both. I mean, you really focus on what you yourself are doing. But yeah, I have an eye to the rest of the Pac-12, and certainly we're pulling for them. I think that bodes well for all of us when our teams succeed in the postseason. I actually called, going into the tournament, I called the Corvallis quad or pod or whatever they call it.
Yeah.
My good buddy, one of my best friends, is a Boise State coach, and then I knew that Gonzaga would probably be placed there as a 5. So I think that's they've got a nice draw to get themselves into the Sweet 16. It gets a little tougher for them once they get there. But I see them moving on. I wouldn't be surprised to see at least 5 of our Pac-12 teams, move to the second weekend.
In your bracket, you're the 2-seed. I love that Mississippi State is the 1-seed. That could be at Moda Center for the right to go to a Final Four. Is there an advantage that you have played them, you have defeated them? Is that a little something, if you get to that point, that you can hang on, or do you throw that out?
Oh, I think you throw it out. It was so long ago. It was back in December. I think we're both different. And besides, it didn't work so well for us with the Stanford thing. We beat them by 40 the first time, and then they got us the second time. So, I don't think it's going to matter either way. I think we would both be very happy to have that opportunity. But like I said, that's a long way down the road.
It's so basketball heavy this time of year. It'll start this week. You'll get the play-in games in the men's bracket. Then the men's will start on Thursday. You guys will go on Friday. Is it a diversion for you guys to watch some of the early men's action? Will you watch those games? Does it kind of get you in tournament mindset, or do you just focus solely on what the task at hand is?
I'm going to be watching. My boys are coming over tonight. We're watching Prairie View, big guy. I mean, I think you and I have talked about that before. My boys are basketball junkies, and they're really into it. So, yeah, we'll be we'll be watching and following. And, you know, we're Zag fans in our family. So, you know, we always watch the Zags. And now how about our men? I was so happy for Dane. I talked with him a little bit today, this morning. And I'll tell you what, I think they got a shot. They got a shot, a really good shot of getting to the next weekend. They're playing so well, and we're really happy for them.
Yeah, so much of it is, can you play your best basketball when it matters, isn't it?
So right. Hey, a couple years ago when Sabrina and Ruthie, those kids were all freshmen, we went in as a 10 seed and won at the buzzer over Temple, the 7, and then beat Duke at Duke. They were the 2 seed and just started to believe, and we got hot at the right time. Then we go back to Bridgeport and beat the 3 seed Maryland to get to the Elite Eight. And I still remember Gino, his quote before the game, says, these guys, they don't know what they're, you know, that they're not supposed to just come in and start beating people. This is supposed to be hard. And I think just we got on a roll. We started to believe, and that young talent kind of took over. So, yeah, anything can happen at this time of the year, and I think that's the beauty of the, you know, of the tournament.
Or the Oregon Ducks women's basketball program is the number 2 seed in the Portland regional of this NCAA tournament. We're talking to Kelly Graves, the Ducks coach. We talked to a former Kansas men's player yesterday. They went in as the number 1 overall seed a few years ago, and he said it wasn't really joyful for him those first couple rounds because everybody's looking for a big upset. They've got bigger expectations. It was very businesslike. How do you approach that as a 2 seed? Do you go in and say, look, let's have some fun, or is it let's go in and take care of business? Or, you know, where do you balance, hey, I want them to have the experience of a lifetime while also just being cold-blooded assassins?
I think all players at every level play better when they're loose and can have fun. Now, some people display that fun differently. Sabrina, you know, she's pretty steely-eyed at all times, but, you know, she plays with a lot of joy. It just is displayed differently. But I just think athletes perform better when they are loose. I think that's the key. Now, getting them there as a higher seed, you know, sometimes that's tougher because there is some pressure. You're expected to win, but you try to keep them loose. And yesterday I gave them the old, you know, are you a predator or are you prey? And, you know, we want to make sure we're the predator. I think the prey worries about those kind of things.
Yeah.
You know, they're looking over their shoulder. They're worried about what other people are saying, that, oh, the Ducks, you know, they didn't play that great down the stretch and on and on and on. But we don't want that attitude. We want the attitude of a predator. We're not going to worry about that. We're going to do what we do. We're the most efficient offensive team in the country and the best shooting team in the country. You know, we just got to go out and play that way. And I think when we're playing at our best and the way we've played several times this year and for most of the season, we're pretty good. We're pretty good.
Kelly Graves. So, go ahead.
No. So, yeah. You know, that's the attitude that we've got to have. We can only worry about ourselves.
All right. I went and saw a movie last night, Free Solo, the guy who climbed El Capitan. Have you seen it?
Oh, like 4 times. Phenomenal.
Isn't it amazing?
Hey, now that's, talk about commitment. That's commitment. you know, that's so inspirational. I actually saved it on my TV. We bought it, you know, and I wanted to show that to the team, and I still haven't found the right moment to do so, but incredible, huh?
Yeah, it'd be like your team sleeping in a van outside the arena saying, this is all that matters. You know, no boyfriends involved, no schools, you know, I'm just here to climb that mountain. You know, I think that would be a good one to show right around the Sweet 16.
You know what? Done deal. We'll do it. And I actually like the van idea. You know, even though we're hosting, we could stay in a hotel. Maybe I'll just ask for a few RVs and we park out in the parking lot. Right?
I think you got it in the budget. Let's ask Dr. Mullins if we can get that in the budget, you know?
Well, no, I think that's the NCAA budget.
Oh, there you go. It's on them.
Yeah, so what do we lose? Let's do it.
I like it.
You're right. That's a very inspirational movie, and it was kind of funny. I don't know if you saw the Oscars, but they won for the best documentary. And during their acceptance speech, he was almost like an afterthought.
Yeah.
It was crazy. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah, I did.
It was really weird.
Yeah, the dude who risked his life was not like, it wasn't possible.
I hate to say it, you guys, there's no documentary without this guy. Maybe he could get the first thank you. Call me nutty.
Do you think that performance of him climbing, you know, El Capitan is being called one of the greatest athletic performances of all time? Do you take that as an athletic performance of all time, or what else is in the conversation?
Wow, no, I do. I think you're right on that. You know, we may lose a basketball game at some point, but if we lose, it doesn't mean we lose our life. I mean, if he loses, he's done.
Yeah.
And yeah, that was I would say that's an incredibly athletic feat to be able to hang on to those just little dents in the rock.
Yeah.
With all of your body weight is incredible.
I couldn't do it. I couldn't climb 6 feet.
Yeah, I hate to climb the ladder when I'm putting up the star on my Christmas tree. Because number one, I'm a little heavy, and you never know what the weight limit on those ladders is. But God, I let alone climb a face of a mountain.
Hey, you know, I heard something about you. I heard you're really into Halloween. Is that true?
Big time. Big time.
Like, what do you do? Well, give me, like, Kelly Graves' front yard.
Well, you know, it started in Spokane 20 years ago. I just started doing it. We have a huge garage and a great neighborhood for trick-or-treating. You know, one of those neighborhoods where people bus in, you know, to go to. And so I just started doing it. I used it as a kind of cross-promotion. I would have schedule magnets and team posters and schedule cards and those kind of things and give to fans. And we'd do a big bonfire in the driveway. And the local weatherman used to do his Halloween night remote weathercast from my driveway. So it got attention there. And, man, we would put 2,000 kids or people through that each year. And, you know, just got bigger and bigger and bigger. And the storage unit to keep the stuff got bigger and bigger. A sore subject between my wife and I, by the way. And then I brought the show here to Eugene, and it's been pretty successful. And I have a lot of fun with it. It's the last chance to really have some fun and a big blowout kind of thing before the season starts. Because once the season starts, I say no a lot to requests to do this and that. So
except for this show, you come on every time.
Hey, you got to prioritize. This is about as good as it gets, isn't it?
Well, you're going to get some people.
I'm no dummy, John. I just look dumb.
So, do you still have tickets available? If people want to come see, you know, you guys play Portland State, they want to come down and see some great basketball over a couple few days in Eugene, can they come get tickets?
Absolutely. Just call the ticket office, and there's going to be plenty of tickets. We're expecting between 8,000 and 10,000, so you know, there's still, as of today, there's still a lot of really good seats, but I think toward Friday, they'll start to fill up a little bit in some of the prime spots. So yeah, come on down. It's a short drive. No problem. We'd love to have them.
All right. So
4 o'clock is the first game. Ours is about 6:15 probably.
So they get Texas and Indiana, and then they get Oregon and Portland State.
You don't get much better than that. I think that's a winner. I would take it.
Hey, by the way, what happens to the Halloween stuff like now? Where is it? Is it in your garage?
It's in a big storage unit that gets bigger with each year. That's what I'm saying. I pay more and more and more for that. My wife goes, "Why?" I mean,
is it off-site? Like, is it like in one of those, you know, places with a gate, or is it in your yard?
Oh, yeah.
No.
Storage unit where we're paying every month. Yeah, it's, Halloween's costing me a lot more than the recent pieces that I'm giving out.
I love it.
It costs quite a bit.
Love it. All right, Kelly Graves, wish you the best, and I will see you during this tournament and during your run, so keep it going.
All right, John. Thanks a lot, buddy. Good being here.
All right, there he is. If you want to see some basketball, I would encourage you, especially, like, I have three daughters, and as soon as I can get off the road, because I'll be at the Oregon-Wisconsin game over on Friday, and as soon as the Ducks men's team's out of this tournament, because they're not winning at all, I'm picking up Oregon and Oregon State women. And this is a chance. Look, with the Portland Regional, I would encourage you, if you're somewhere within a stone's throw of Eugene, don't wait until the Portland Regional. Pick it up now, because part of the joy of watching these teams is you get to watch their journey. And if you get to see the Ducks play Portland State, Texas play Indiana, you see the winner of that, then all of a sudden you're going to, you know, in the Portland Regional, you're suddenly going to have Syracuse in there and probably Miami and maybe Arizona State and maybe Mississippi State probably, among others. When you get to that round of 16, that's going to be a lot of fun. All right, leave it right here. Scott Ruick, by the way, the Oregon State women's coach on tomorrow's show. And if you're a Beavers fan, same goes. I mean, they've got Boise State coming up Saturday. Gonzaga plays Little Rock, and that's all in Corvallis. And so then you get to see the winners, probably Oregon State and Gonzaga, playing each other on, what is that, Monday? They play Saturday, Monday, I think. So check that out. Leave it right here. You got the bald face trick. So I go and see this movie. If you were listening off the top of the show, you know I'm just obsessed with it. I'm not a rock climber. I'm not even a hiker. Okay, I've been more recently. I've been riding the bike quite a bit in the gym. I do that bicycle that has like the video monitor on it, and it's got classes going on. And it's kind of like this virtual spin class, and it gives me like a 35-minute sweat like I've never had before. And by the way, I couldn't do it without Reflex. Think about it with every pedal stroke. ReflexKnees.com if you want to check them out, because all they did is get me back to life. They can do it for you as well. But this is not a commercial. I'm just telling you that I get on the bike. I ride the bike. And by the way, I don't know if you've done these virtual spin classes, but the one that I'm doing, it's got like the ranking of all like 500 people that are currently engaged in the spin class along the rail. So I can see the names and the cities and the ages. Like I can see male 48 Albuquerque. And here's his screen name. Some of the people put pictures. Like if it's Alabama Adriana, she'd have like this glamour picture of her like on the rail. She'd be like, it would be like Alabama Adriana. I don't know how old you are. What are you, like 24?
Yes.
24, Portland, Oregon, and would have like this amazing photo of you on there, right? Mine is like
photoshopped headshot.
I thought about putting my head on the rock's body and putting it on there just so people could see me breezing past them. Because when they pass you or you pass them, you kind of jump up and down the rankings. It's like playing a video game, but you're riding a bike. So it's really cool. So I identify somebody who's in front of me by a few spots, and I'll chase them down, and then I'll identify, and I'm trying to go up the list the whole time, chasing like these other people that are probably sitting in their living rooms riding their bikes.
Do you watch Black Mirror?
I have seen it, but okay. It freaked me out. It's scary.
Yeah, there's an episode where they ride bikes for like money.
Oh, really?
And this is really reminding me of that.
Yeah. Are they racing?
They're trying to get money. So the longer they go, the more money they get.
Oh, really? So it's based probably on this concept.
Probably.
With people in their living rooms. Here's the other thing, though. The instructors, you can pick which class you do, and they've got male instructors that are good-looking guys, and they've got female instructors that are really good-looking ladies, and then they have, I haven't done this yet, but it's kind of a, I guess it's a foul-mouthed class is the best way I could put it, because it's not clean. Like, the person could be shouting F-bombs at you to like pick up the pace or whatever.
That's what I would need.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought, who needs that? I said, what degenerate needs this?
I like complaining during my workouts, so that would help me a lot.
Because the lady, the class, I always pick a female instructor. I do. I'm just being honest. I pick a female instructor because I feel like it's more motivating to me. I don't want some guy telling me to ride my bike faster. But if some lady is telling me to ride the bike faster, I do ride the bike faster. But I don't know that I necessarily need her cussing at me.
Two types of people in this world. You ever seen Glengarry Glen Ross? The famous Alec Baldwin speech at the beginning?
No, I haven't. I haven't seen that. Okay. I need to see that. Why is he...
There's a famous tirade in the beginning, yeah, where he's screaming at the salespeople. There's two types of people in the world. People that are, that's unacceptable. And other people are like, yeah, let's go sell some real estate right now.
Yeah. So you would benefit, Adriana, by the... Like, if the instructor... Would you pick male or female instructor?
They're
both good-looking people.
I don't No.
Who would you respond better to? I respond better to the woman who's saying, pick it up, buddy.
Yeah, the woman too, just because it's more of like a camaraderie that way.
And you can pick different, there's different music. So I stumbled upon, I've only done three classes, but I've stumbled onto it and I was like, I'll try this. And then I was like, that was pretty good because I almost felt like I couldn't quit. Because she was saying, come on, keep it up. And then she even gives shout outs to people. There's like 500. I got a shout out. Like, I'm like, hey, it's your first ride. Like, and I was like, all right, now I can't quit. Like, I can't 10 minutes into this just jump off the bike and have them go, hey, where'd you go? But I don't know. Would you benefit really by the person being like, hey, pick it up, bleep?
Yeah, I think so, just because it's more real. And if you had like a personal trainer that you had some sort of a friendship with, then yeah. I feel like it'd be the same thing.
Come on, get it beep, and going.
I follow fitness people on Instagram, and my favorite one, she is like the queen of cussing during her workouts. It's like, it's just you're being real. It sucks. But
I might have to try it one day, but I'll have to do it when no one else is around in there because I don't bring headphones. I actually have to turn the monitor up. And so the other people would be hearing the F-bombs in the room. But I got to be honest. Like, if you do a spin class, it's a real spin class. I'm sore today. And I also was like drenched. Like it was 35 minutes of not me leisurely riding my bicycle. Tom is in Salem. He's called in about free solo. What's up?
Hey, John, I knew the results of that before I saw it the other night and I couldn't watch it. I just had to close my eyes, look the other way. Didn't you feel away that way a little bit?
I didn't know the results. I also was getting like a little dizzy, like with some of the photography, because it was so mind-blowing.
It's unbelievable.
Great movie.
Yeah.
Did it make you want to climb, or did you go, that guy's crazy, it was just cool to watch him?
Well, you know, afterwards, they asked him what he was going to do, and he's going back and do chin-ups with two fingers. So, I mean, you know, I can't do that.
Yeah, he's got some strength, like his hands are strong. His wrists are strong. What are you laughing at down there? What's so funny?
Just a tweet. My friend is listening to Kacey Musgraves for the first time, and she doesn't like country. She's just like me. And then you listen to Kacey Musgraves, and you fall in love with country. With her, anyway.
There you go. See? Thanks for paying attention to the show. I thought it was something amusing that I said. Apparently not. All right, leave it right here. Our 2 at 2 is coming up.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.